You know, it's hard to believe, as I said earlier, just in a couple of days, we're going to be saying goodbye, not only to 2019, but to an entire decade. And I asked you all if you were ready for it, and most of you said yes, in the affirmative. I think most of us, if given the opportunity, we would say we would like a better year next year than we had this past. Even if it was a good year, it could always be better, right? And I believe so many people are going to believe in their hearts, in order for it to be a better year, they're going to have to go on a diet. It happens every January. Going on a diet and exercise, because the old adage, the old saying is, you are what you eat, right? And in many ways, it's true. And I want to just tell the younger folks, as you get older, it becomes even more truer. It seems to rest in one place when we are what we eat. But I also want to say this morning, I also believe there's another saying that is equally as important, because I do believe what we put in our mouths will have an effect on our bodies. But I also believe we are what we think, what we take into our minds, what we consume. And it doesn't matter what age you are. You could be young, or you could be later on in your years. How you think will have an effect on how you see life and how you live. You know, I was listening. How many have ever heard of Dr. David Jeremiah? Woo-hoo. Well, this week he read a poem, and I'd like to read it for you, on how we get up in the morning and how we see life, how we start our day. And this is the poem he read. Since I have retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, go pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name isn't there, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. You see, if you get up with that mindset, there are people today, literally in their hundreds, who are leading full lives because they get up with that understanding that I'm going to think good things today and I'm going to make something of this day. And we don't have to read the paper and go back to bed. You know, Proverbs says this. Well, it has to say it when I put it on. There we go. As a man or as a woman thinks, so he or she is. That is such an enlightening proverb. What we think in our minds oftentimes is what we'll experience during that particular day. We become psychologically and spiritually through what we place in our minds. And so it all begins with our thinking. So as we come to the conclusion of this new year, maybe we should not only think about what we're going to eat in the new year and exercise and diet, which I applaud and I ask all of you to consider, but also how we're going to enter this new year by the way we think. For as a person thinks, so he or she is, the proverb says. Negative thinking brings negative emotions. I know that through my own experiences. If I start my day negative, it's usually going to end up going to be a negative day. But positive thinking will bring about positive emotions. And usually it will carry through the day. Even if we face negative circumstances, we'll be able to handle them, handle those challenges in a different frame of mind, if you will. The Apostle Paul, he writes in Ephesians 4:22, verses 22 through 24. Listen to what he says. You were taught with regard to your former life or way of life to put off your old self. In other words, that stinking thinking, if you will, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new, listen to this, in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self. I love what Paul says here. If we want a better new year in 2020, then the attitude of our minds how we think will make that difference. You see, change begins with our thinking. We need to think good and positive thoughts. Now, I know it sounds simplistic, and believe me, some people think salvation is simplistic. You mean I just confess Christ and ask Him to forgive me of my sins and cover my sins with the blood of Jesus? That's all I have to do? I don't have to crawl on a bed of nails? I don't have to carry this great weight up steps to wherever until I've paid back my debt? No. So oftentimes, the biblical truths seem simplistic, but they're not. It's a fact that positive thinking will make us positive people. So in our text this morning, for example, that Barbara just read, the Apostle Paul tells us to rejoice, to be joyful. He tells us not to be anxious. Well, we might say, easier said than done, Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. But he tells us how to get there when we ask him how. How do I rejoice? How do I remain positive? How do I remain joyful? How do I not become so anxious all the time when I go to work, when I do this or do that? How do I do that? Well, he gives us the schematic on how to do that. He says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, it's up there, whatever's right, whatever's pure. He says, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. He says, if anything's excellent or it's praiseworthy, he tells us, think on those things. And he says, the peace of God will dwell within us. You see, I think what Paul was trying to say, and listen, if you read the book of Acts and even some of the epistles he writes, you realize that it wasn't a bed of roses every day for the Apostle Paul. And yet he could say these things. Think on these positive things when you start your day. And he says, you'll have a peace that God will give you to get through that day. And I believe that with all my heart. Paul knew, and I think we know as well, that anxiety comes from negative thinking. Whenever I'm anxious, it's usually about something on the negative side, not the positive side. And many times thinking about, listen to this, and worrying about something that didn't even happen yet and may not even happen. And yet we're worried about it. Oh, I don't know on my job. I don't know this family situation. I don't know what my finances. I don't know about this relationship. We are swayed by how we're feeling, Paul tells us, and we're swayed by the way we think, our thoughts. And I believe that. Think positive things, and he says, God's peace will dwell within you and me. And you know, I looked up the word dwell, the word that Paul would have used in the original New Testament Greek, and listen of some of the definitions. To dwell means to consider, to think of, to get our minds focused on something, to intentionally focus. In other words, it's not going to happen through osmosis. When we get up in the morning, we get up in a positive way, and we could even say, Lord God, with your help today, I believe this is going to be a good day. No matter what I face today, I believe it's going to be a good day. I'm going to dwell on that rather than saying, oh, no, it's another day. Oh, I got to get up. I got to go to work. I got to face this. I got to do that. Or read the obits and find out you're not dead. Eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. And Paul's telling us, no, dwell on those good things. And he says, be intentional about it. Thinking on what is right. And then he says, apply it to your own life. Did you know, you know, the Super Bowl's coming up. How many watch the Super Bowl? Okay? Yeah. Super Bowl is that big event where everybody hates New England. I'm sorry. I apologize. There's someone in the church whose dad is a major New England fan. But I will tell you, I have so much respect for Tom Brady. I mean, I think he's probably one of the all-time great quarterbacks. The only thing is, he just keeps beating my team, and that's what bothers me. But I don't know if you know this. To get a 30 minute or 30 second soundbite commercial during the Super Bowl, it costs that vendor $2.5 million. 30 seconds to get your product up there before this enormous crowd that's watching the Super Bowl, $2.5 million. You know why? Because it only takes about 30 seconds to get into our head to think that we've got to buy that product. And they know that. They don't have to keep preaching to you for an hour and a half to convince you to buy the car. A witty 30-second commercial at a cheap cost, a discounted cost of $2.5 million, will convince your mind that you need to have that product. And that's how quick thinking could have an effect on us. I'd like to share a story about someone that was surrounded by negativity. I'm going to give you an example. A member of my former church, when I was in Connecticut, he served in a very high position in the IBM Corporation. He was way up there in the food chain. The stress level associated with his work had him stressed out all the time. He was doing work on the train. He was doing work when everybody else was sleeping. He got up. His wife even told me that even when he went to the bathroom, he had a phone installed right next to the commode in case the job called him. Under stress all the time. He would get caught up in negative conversations around the water cooler or the coffee maker, people complaining, and he'd get all worked up and caught up in that conversation. He was immersed in negative news all the time. When he would ride into work, he'd have the news on, or he'd be reading the news, and it was all about negative stuff going on in New York or Connecticut or the country or the world for that matter. Back and forth from work, negativity all day long in his life. And when he came home from work, he would numb himself with a drink, a cocktail, and then he'd watch more negative television. It was this vicious cycle that he was caught up in of negativity, and it found a residence in his head, in his mind, in his brain. He wasn't thinking on those things that Paul speaks of in Philippians. One day, through a Bible study in our church on this text that we are exploring today from Philippians, it gave him an idea to make a change in his life. He disengaged with negative people around the water cooler and the coffee maker. He decided to exempt himself from those particular conversations. He put on Christian music, and he listened to or watched podcasts on his iPhone on the Metro North train, going to work and back from work, getting positive stuff inserted into his mind. He came home, and instead of drinking a cocktail, he exercised. And he stuck on positive things: Christian networking, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, stuff that would bring good news to his mind instead of all the negativity that he was caught up in. And slowly, he broke that vicious cycle of negativity over his life, and his thinking began to change. And I want to tell you something, his life changed for the better. He was more positive. He spent more time with his family. He had a better outlook on life. He greeted people with a smile. He changed his life through positive thinking. You are what you think, not just what you eat. And I love what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 2 following. Listen to what he writes. Basically what he writes, it's up there: do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So Paul lays it out. The world is filled with so much negativity on TV. And I know I keep saying this because I want you to hold me accountable. I stopped watching television now through Advent. And my wife said, amen. I'm reading more. I'm reading a book a week now. Sitting down in the morning, instead of putting on the news. I sit down, I read. I read the Bible. I say my prayers. I just sit back and I relax. I put on some nice music instead of watching the boob tube all day. You see, it all begins with our thinking. Our lives can change and be better this coming new year of 2020 when we make ourselves a product of what we think about. And I believe that with all my heart. And as my friend in the other church I served learned, we live in a world that gets more negative all the time, and we have to intentionally counter that negativity that will bring us the peace and joy that the Apostle Paul speaks of. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think it does. You see, think great thoughts. Maybe that should be on your refrigerator. Maybe you should put that on the dashboard of your car. Put it somewhere in the mirror where you make up or shave in the morning. Think great thoughts. Be intentional about reading your Bible each day. And don't make it a drudgery. Don't make it a legalistic thing. Oh, I've got to read the Bible. No, read the Bible because you want to. And make it short. Don't try to read an entire gospel. Read a chapter. Read a couple of verses. Ponder on those verses. Think about what's said. Start off slow, and you'll see that your reading will increase. Take time to pray each day. And don't make that a drudgery thing either. Maybe you could write down in a journal, these are the things I'm going to pray for every day. Our daughter was telling us she keeps this prayer journal, and when a prayer is answered, she marks it off, and it shows her how awesome God is that that prayer was answered. Maybe that's a little exercise that you could do each morning. Or in the evening, maybe, when it's quiet and nobody is making noise and you could just sit by yourself. Read some good, encouraging Christian books. Let me tell you something. There are some great Christian authors out there that are writing dynamic literature that we could read that will enhance our minds. Or read some good secular books. Let me tell you something. There's some great books out there. One year, I decided to go back to all the books I read when I was a kid. Books that inspired me. You know, stories about Sherlock Holmes. I read books written by H.G. Wells and Charles Dickens. And I got caught up in these great literary accomplishments written by great authors. And I felt good about that. Instead of reading all the negativity that's in the world. Again, we are what we eat, there's no doubt about that, but we're also what we think. And so have a steady diet of good food, yes, but also have a steady good diet of what you think. And here's another one. This is a hard one. Have some good thoughts about yourself. You know, we're all children of God. Do you believe that? I believe that. The Bible says that he delights in us. Could you imagine he delights in you and me? He does. Just like if you're a parent or a grandparent, we delight in our children. God delights in us. So do we dwell on negative thoughts, or do we wake up and knowing that God is in us and we see him as seeing us as being valuable to him? That should automatically make you feel better. God, we're valuable in your sight. You love us so much that you sent your son and he was willing to die for us. You have compassion on us. You have understanding about what we're going through when nobody else does. And so, just to recap, renew your minds. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. How? By dwelling on positive thoughts. Number two, feed your minds. Feed your minds with positive things, whether it be Christian or secular books or Christian music or some, for me, it's not only Christian music, it's Frank Sinatra. I like listening to some of those old songs, and it puts me at peace in my mind. Begin to look at people differently. Look at people the way God looks at people. What will this do? It'll begin to take judgmentalism out of our thinking process. Remember the guy I spoke of that worked for IBM? and he didn't want to get caught up in negative conversations around the water cooler and the coffee machine. He didn't run away. He went and got his coffee. But if he heard something like this, you know, our district director is such a jerk. And my friend would say, but you know what? He's got a lot on his plate, too. Did you know his kid is struggling with autism? Do you realize that he comes to work every day with a lot on his plate, too? Think about that for a while, and then he'd walk away from the conversation. When we start looking at people as God looks at people, we'll start to see things that we could make an inroad into their lives to bring something positive out of them, as we have found positivity ourselves. This one's important, too. Don't dwell on things that didn't even happen yet. I remember times when I worried about stuff that never happened. It never happened in the future, but it kept me up all night. And I would think about it all day, and it didn't even transpire yet, but yet I was worried about it. Here's the right way to handle those things. Do what you can do. Don't just sit back and say, God, do all the heavy lifting. No, do what you can do, but then give the rest over to God. Say, Lord, I've taken it as far as I can. I need your help in this matter. Help me out. I ask you, Lord, take this burden off of me and trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll make that crooked path straight in your life. And lastly, this is the tough one. Learn how to forgive yourself. The Bible says that every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has done something in our lives that we're not particularly proud of. Every single one of us have done something that we're ashamed of. Since Adam and Eve, right up to this very day in this place. Well, once we turn it over to God, God forgives us. That's a fact. Then the hard part is, can we forgive ourselves for what we've done in and through our lives? Can we let it go? God's forgiven us, and many times other people have forgiven us, but yet we still dwell on how we've hurt other people, bad decisions we've made, and things we've done that we're not proud of. By turning it over to God, doing that will take away all of those negative thoughts and give us a joy and an unspeakable and unbelievable peace that you can't get from the world. So yes, we are what we eat. And let me tell you, I know that from personal experience. But we're also where we are what we think. So as we're about to embark on a whole new decade in just a few days, let the transformation, friends, let the renewing of our minds begin. Dwell on the positive, not on the negative, and watch how your life and my life will change in this new year. Do you believe that? Amen. And so, Lord God, I just ask, as we close out this decade, for some of us, a lot of things happen in our lives that brought us great pain. I get that. But I pray from the bottom of my heart on behalf of our whole congregation this morning and those watching by the internet, help us to begin a whole new chapter in this new decade, dwelling on the positive and not the negative. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, with your help, this may be the very best year we've ever experienced in our entire lives. In Jesus' name, amen.